Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 19th of May, and I'm recording at 9:13 p.m., and that's British Summer Time, and a beautiful summer time it is. I hope that's the same where you are, at least where it's summertime. Now, what's going on here today? It's somewhat interesting. There are two factors here that I think are really dominating sentiment overall here in stock markets. One has been the softness of bond markets causing yields to drop, although the U.S. 10-year yield is at 2.54 here today, so that has edged up. But as you know, that's been down as low as 2.51 last week. Now, I'm reluctant myself to think that this is some sort of prescient decision on the part of what's likely to happen to global GDP growth. But if it is the case, an influence here would be China, the economy which actually remains quite weak, down again here today in terms of the stock market action in mainland China, partly because the government-controlled banks are raising a very considerable amount of cash, and that caused the Shanghai Composite Index to fall by over 1% here today. And it's right down at 2005, and it's testing the lower range of support for the last many months, and it really does need a quite decisive upward dynamic to reaffirm support in this region. The Hang Seng Index remains firmer, although it was down a fraction, mere tiny fraction here today. Now, the other concern that's causing, I think, investors to fret and keeping those yields lower is that there are fears that global tensions could lead to somewhat higher oil prices and that would weaken GDP growth. Now, how might that actually happen? Well, one of the stories that's just come out quite recently, and Ambrose Evans-Pritchard has a good article on this subject, is that China apparently imported more oil back in, well, just last month in April, than at any other time in its history. And it apparently is beefing up its supply reserves, which are not all that great. I think they run to about somewhere between 60 and 90 days, and that they have intentions to ramp that up very, very considerably because they're way behind the strategic reserves that the USA currently has, although it wouldn't be surprising if the USA actually reduced its own reserves at some point in the not-too-distant future, largely because it is such a big producer of oil and gas in its own within its own territory. Now, is this perception correct? It's impossible to say at this stage, but certainly the markets have been worrying about it a little bit, and we probably need to see that U.S. 10-year government bond yield move back above the 2.6 level and really more above the 2.8 level. I think it really, I would say 2.8 level in particular, to provide evidence that investors were no longer as concerned about a possible slowdown in global GDP growth. Another factor which I could also mention on that on those perceptions regarding global GDP growth would be Europe, which has done well to recover and be where it is today. But some of those stock markets are are slipping back, not least Greece. And so that has increased anxiety generally, that growth is going to remain very, very slow within the European region. Okay, so getting back to the markets, though, what else happened aside from a small rally in the U.S. long dated bond, 10-year bond, and also the weakness of the China A shares due to the banks raising all that cash? Well, other markets in Asia are doing considerably better. They include Taiwan and South Korea. Not much change there today, but they're quietly steady within their overall ranges. However, Australia slipped in here today, down over 1.25%. India dominating the gains here in Asia once again, with a gain of 1% for the Sensex index overall. Now, I've talked an awful lot about India, and I don't want to bore you on the subject, but I think everybody, including myself, has underestimated Narendra Modi. And I've been a big fan of Modi, as you know, and I've been talking about him really for the last year or so. Now, I'll just say that I think that given his majority, I think we could have a real transformation in terms of governance and achievements and growth within India. That's what I actually expect. And therefore, on that basis, I think India is very likely to be one of the top performing stock markets over the next, at least over the next 4 to 5 years. And it's an extremely interesting situation at this stage. It will also be highly volatile, nothing new in that. Therefore, and also it's as I've described it before, it's a little bit overbought here following that big run up prior to Modi's majority victory. So my strategy for India, that those of you who are veteran subscribers may recall, I mean, I've been buying India since 2003, and since early 2003, and I prefer to buy it on setbacks. I probably won't buy a whole lot more, as I've already got quite a decent position there within my portfolio. But for instance, currently I'm also running a spread bet position as well. Okay, elsewhere in the Asian markets, Malaysia a little bit firmer. That's been steady overall, though it didn't see the same sort of gains that markets like Indonesia saw. Now, Indonesia's down here today, but much like India, there is a belief that we're going to see stronger governance within Indonesia following its election not long ago. And that's creating a firm overall stock market, and it looks interesting. Now, Vietnam, a market that I certainly had liked earlier in the year, and it had had an awfully good run earlier in the year, and then it got knocked back very sharply to the upper side of its base formation by the incident with China. And that's a very tense situation, and obviously Vietnam is a lot smaller than China, and so the carrying of an oil rig to drill within what most people would arguably say is Vietnam's territorial waters in the South China Sea is a fairly aggressive action, and that did clobber, as I've just mentioned, Vietnam's overall performance. But it's cheap down here, it is oversold, and it is beginning to rally from this level. The political factor, what China is going to do in here, was that just a brazen attempt just to distract people perhaps from some of the economic problems taking place within China, or just to test the resolve of other countries such as Vietnam? remains to be seen. But provided that doesn't flare up again significantly, I think that Vietnam really does look quite attractive at these levels. And moving on to the European stock markets, they were mostly a little bit lower in here today, and the big loser here today, down 1.6%, was the Italian market. So we're seeing a little bit of selling pressure across the boards, or we have seen in recent days and longer in some instances, such as Greece. We have seen the European markets giving up some of those year-end gains that we had seen and extended at the beginning of this year. In the Americas, Brazil was down today, but that's probably in need of a consolidation of its very strong gains here. Most of the miners are a little weaker in here today as well. In contrast, the United States has closed out with some modest gains here today, but one of the more interesting of those gains was the NASDAQ index. Because it's been a laggard here for several months, as you know, having been very much the leader right through year-end 2013. But it was up 0.86% today, which was more than twice what we saw for the S&P 500, and the Dow only had a modest gain here by comparison. So if you look at a chart of the NASDAQ Composite Index, well, it's been ranging sideways for months, but at least it's quietly steady above that psychological 4,000 level, which is where the range lows for those five, 6 months can be seen. But the NASDAQ 100 Index, which has the bigger companies, of course, that's steadier. It's got gradually rising lows established over, it must be more than the last month, probably at least the last six weeks or so. And it's coming up to some its prior resistance, just above current levels here. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens. It's certainly got to do more to offset the top building characteristics that I've described before. But further gains here would, or I'll put it this way, while those lows, and it's best to look at a daily chart of the NASDAQ 100 index, while those reaction lows are rising, as I say, we've seen over the last month or possibly even 6 weeks, we can't rule out the possibility of a test of the upper side of this broad trading range. However, this is a modest improvement, which I did want to mention, but I can also say that it would only take one clear downward dynamic, to start to break those rising lows, and I'd be very careful about those NASDAQ shares for the most part, because I think that the medium-term risks are certainly higher than the upside potential. We've also had just a little bit of a gain in the Russell 2000, but that still remains the weakest of the U.S. indices overall, and my conclusion in all this is that the U.S. does not have much upside potential here, particularly during this, I think, second quarter and also the forthcoming third quarter of the year, where we often see underperformance on average. So I'd be cautious regarding the U.S. stock markets. Now, looking elsewhere, government bonds, well, I've already discussed those, so let's move on to currencies. And in here, the US dollar is a little weaker, but it's just hovering just above 80 on the US dollar index. But we have had an improvement in the ADXY. That's the Asian currency index. And right now, we've got the euro trading at 137. Against the greenback, and sterling is at 168, 1.6819. Precious metals, well, they had started out quite firm here this morning, but have actually given up those gains as the or gave up those gains as the day actually progressed. Currently in after-hours trading, we've got palladium a tiny bit higher at 815, almost 816, but it was up at 824.50. But it's by far, remains by far the steadiest of these precious metals. It's ranging gradually sideways to higher. The next steadiest one overall is platinum. It's currently trading after hours at $1,470, but it was up at $1,486 this morning. And similarly, silver is currently at $19.36, but it was up at $19.68 earlier in the day. So very much range bound, and still near the lower side of that range. And then just to wrap up, this gold bullion currently trading at 1293 and a little bit of change, whereas it had been up at 1305 this morning. So it looks like we're going to get more ranging here, but I think it's a little better than 50-50 that this is a support building process overall. And even if that is not the case, I think on a lengthy medium term that there is more upside potential than downside risk. And one of the reasons for that, the low interest rates, all the money printing that is actually taking place, and the traditional buyers of gold are likely to accumulate more of it over the medium term. And industrial metals, well, the ones I've been able to see, it was a little bit of a mixed picture in here today. Zinc and aluminium and nickel were a little higher, but copper gave up early gains and closed a little bit weaker. Grains and beans, well, we're well into the planting season. It's actually mostly completed in North America. At any rate, I think this will be just a quiet period to see what happens with the weather over the next few months, and it's going to be entirely a situation, I think, of what it's just anticipations of what actually happens in terms of the crop yields going forward. And on that note, again, all the very best to all of you.